Now, U.S. senators are making their final statements today in the impeachment trial of President Trump. Tomorrow, senators are scheduled to either convict or acquit the president on two articles of impeachment, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress.
As a reminder, Democrats in the House have accused President Trump and his administration of withholding congressionally approved foreign military aid to Ukraine to pressure Ukraine to announce an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden, one of the president's political rivals.
Our next guest joins us to talk about today's testimony and the political impact of the trial.
Paul Nolet is an associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it. What's your takeaway from these final testimonies that we're hearing today?
Yeah, I think overall not much has really changed about the prospects of acquittal, which really since the beginning of the process when the House sent over articles of impeachment, that seemed like that was that really hasn't changed too much. What has changed is whether there are going to be any crossover votes. There was some expectation that some senators like Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski of Maine and Alaska, respectively, would cross over and be Republicans voting to remove Trump from office. But they both announced that they were not going to do that. So it certainly looks like it's shaping up to be a very down-the-line party vote.
And specifically today, Senator Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, said that the House managers proved that Trump demonstrated very poor judgment, but didn't convince her he should be removed from office. So splitting hairs there between, you know, what has been proven and then, I guess, what the remedy might be.
That does seem to be a pretty popular line amongst the somewhat more moderate members of the Republican Senate caucus, or at least the ones who have been more openly critical of Trump, is to say, well, I don't think this goes to the level of removal from office, but nevertheless, Trump did certain things wrong, and I'm going to state that. So it's a little bit of a different tone than some of President Trump's fiercest defenders in the Senate, but nevertheless, they are still voting for acquittal at the end.
And as we're discussing those defenders, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky started the testimony today. He stood in support of the president. Here's part of what he had to say about the Democrats and the impeachment proceedings.
Here's their real position, Mr. President. Washington Democrats think President Donald Trump committed a high crime or misdemeanor the moment he defeated Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. That is the original sin of this presidency, that he won and they lost. Ever since, the nation has suffered through a grinding campaign against our norms and institutions from the same people who keep shouting that our norms and institutions need defending.
We've heard this argument from Republicans before, that the impeachment, even the Mueller investigation, was because they didn't believe that President Trump's election was legitimate. Is that resonating with people?
Yeah, I mean, certainly amongst Republicans who overwhelmingly think that the president should be acquitted and agree with Mitch McConnell right there. Now, I also think that there is a certain percentage, not a large percentage of Americans, typically around 6 to 8% in polls, who don't approve of President Trump's conduct here, but nevertheless think that he should be acquitted. And part of the reason may be because they say, well, you know, it's an election year. In November, everyone's going to have the chance to decide. So let's just leave it up to the voters. And I think that part of that argument has, in fact, resonated with enough Americans to not turn the tide against President Trump completely in this whole debate.
So you think it's an effective strategy for Republicans to say they're trying to undo an election and to mess with the next one, so don't fall for this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is effective in it, especially when the entire impeachment episode spilled over into this current year, 2020. I think that argument got even stronger because then it put in people's minds, well, look, the election is just a few months down the road, so perhaps we can let the voters decide there. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the right argument. I mean, Democrats certainly will push back and say this is about norms and the rule of law and such, and so we need to act regardless of the fact that an election is coming up. But nevertheless, I think That was enough to convince a very slight majority of Americans that Trump does not deserve to be removed from office.
Paul Nillette is an associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. We're talking about the latest in the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. A majority of Democratic senators have taken issue throughout this process with the fact that witnesses weren't allowed to be part of the Senate impeachment trial. Let's take a listen now to Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut.
I'll remember the moment that we raised our hands, took an oath to be impartial. All 100 of us, 99, at the same time in a historic moment when the weight of that responsibility shook me like a rock. And I will remember also the shame and sadness that I felt when this body, supposedly the greatest deliberative body in the history of the world, voted to close its eyes, to put on blinders, to evidence, witnesses and documents, first-hand knowledge, eyes and ears on the president, black and white, documents don't lie, that were necessary to understand the complete story and give the American people the complete truth.
So there's that criticism of the process. Paul, what do you think is the effect of a lack of witnesses or other evidence at this stage in the long term?
So in the long term, I think it does help to fire up Democrats who thought that President Trump, in fact, did impeachable conduct and conduct for which he should be removed from office. And they view Republicans as just shutting this down in a very partisan way and not even allowing all the facts to come out. And so I think the long term effect is to fire up the Democratic side with that sort of argument, whereas Republicans are firing up their base with the argument that Democrats have been against President Trump since the day he lost, or rather he won the election against Hillary Clinton. So I think a lot of this rhetoric back and forth at this point is really about connecting with each party's base.
And you mentioned the rhetoric because we actually hear some of the defense of the Constitution from both Republicans and Democrats in this conversation. What's different, though, in what we're hearing on the Senate floor than at news conferences is the tone that senators are taking. It is really solemn. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, and I think it is a reflection of the fact that these sorts of proceedings do not happen very often. It's very rare for any sort of impeachment proceedings to happen in an impeachment trial of any federal official, never mind the President of the United States. And so I think that the senators are recognizing that this is a serious moment, and I think both of them have a political reason for doing so. The Republicans saying this is, we are taking our duty seriously and we've decided there's not enough evidence here, and Democrats taking very much the opposite argument. But yeah, I think it's a little bit different than your typical partisan debate. In part because at least until today and a little bit yesterday, senators by and large were not even allowed to speak during much of this time. So I think that also played into it.
Yeah, certainly. We even saw the notes of the questions being passed for the Chief Justice to read and not even hearing directly from those senators at that time. We're talking to Paul Nillette, political scientist at Marquette University, and he's with us about the ongoing impeachment trial.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. The proceedings likely come to an end tomorrow afternoon. What do you think about the process that you've seen in impeachment? What would you hope for with the outcome tomorrow? Expected to be a party line vote for the most part for acquittal. Do you think that is the right outcome? Do you think whatever the outcome is that the process has done justice to the issues that have been raised? Or would you have liked to have seen something different? Maybe witnesses or documents brought in? Or would you have liked to see nothing? Not an impeachment process at all? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We continue this conversation in just a bit right here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keeley Baltina. And we're talking about the impeachment trial in the Senate as lawmakers make the case to either convict or acquit President Trump. Our guest is Paul Nolet, associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question about the process or maybe the politics behind it and your thoughts. What do you think about this ongoing trial likely to end tomorrow afternoon with a vote in the Senate? How do you want that vote to come out, regardless of what you think will happen? Do you think the trial was worth it, even if nothing ends up changing? Do you think it was good to get these issues out in the open? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
And now we want to welcome Peggy from Brooklyn, Wisconsin, to the conversation. Peggy, thanks for giving us a call.
Hi. Thank you for... all you do for the average Joe out there listening to the radio. You lay it out there the way it should be. I really think they should have had witnesses, and I'm really upset that the Democrats and Republicans cannot work together for the better of the people. And I do think they should have had this impeachment process for the sole reason that in the beginning, the Republicans and their attorneys said that, no, they did nothing wrong. And in the end, they said, well, okay, yeah, you've proven that they did wrong. They also, along with President Trump, and I have a real big problem with them just following along. I actually think that there are a lot of Republicans out there that are really in fear for their life and their family. My honest opinion.
Peggy, thanks for weighing in on that. Paul Nolet, we're hearing Peggy explain now that she really feels like witnesses were supposed to be part of the trial phase of impeachment, and that's not what we saw.
Right, and I mean, that certainly is an argument that Democrats have made and Democrats will continue to make, to say we didn't hear some really important witnesses that had some firsthand evidence here. I mean, John Bolton, I think, really comes to the forefront there as somebody who Democrats certainly wanted to call and may very well have some relevant things to say. Now, even though this is going to be the end of the impeachment process in all likelihood tomorrow with the acquittal vote, I do think that this conversation about Trump's conduct in office is still going to be very much a big part of the campaign moving forward. So even though, you know, pretty close to 100% chance that President Trump will not get removed from office tomorrow, this will be a really central part of the argument that Democrats will make in the lead up to November.
And let's go ahead now and bring Pat from McHenry, Illinois, into the conversation. Pat, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just am so disappointed in the Congress that people have become so partisan that there's like no independent thinking anymore. I was, I will admit that I was very much in favor of Trump being impeached and removed from office, but I just think it's pathetic how things are now happening only along party lines, and that no one, that Republicans in particular, feel so threatened, it appears, by Donald Trump and those who are strong supporters of his, that they just have to go along with whatever he does.
Pat, thanks for weighing in on that. And Paul, I wonder how much we can really glean and understand whether Republicans are, as Pat said, you know, concerned about their political viability if they go against the president, or if they really do believe what they're saying and they support him. And this is just a different line of conversation that we've had from Republicans in this era.
Yeah, and in some ways it's hard to separate those two in terms of what they really believe and then what is actually good for them politically. But I do think that on the latter point, at least, Republicans have made the calculation that going against President Trump is not going to end well for them, you know, in a potential primary. So someone like Senator Collins, for instance, who has cultivated a moderate reputation, nevertheless, and really isn't too much of a friend of Trump in terms of some of the comments she's made in the past, has nevertheless sided with Trump on this. And so I think it is a reflection of some very, very sharp partisanship these days, in which members of each party, both in both the House, the Senate, elsewhere, are expected to stay in line regardless with the rest of their party. So that dynamic is very much in play right now.
Brings up the question of separation of powers, you know, how that all works when it seems like it's really the parties working together and not necessarily the different branches of government.
Right. And you know, this has been another criticism that Democrats have brought up to say, well, where is our allegiance to separation of powers in the Constitution and our independent congressional duty to push back against another branch of government? But of course, you know, during the Obama days, and then no doubt with a future Democratic president as well, Republicans will make the argument, that same exact argument, that Democratic members of Congress aren't pushing back against their president. So that partisanship, I think it's a very good point that that partisanship has become really more important than institutional prerogatives, like the prerogatives of Congress versus the executive branch.
We're talking to Paul Nolet, who's an associate professor and is chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. And we're discussing the ongoing impeachment trial. And we've got Keith from Madison on the line. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Hey, hello.
Hey, what's your take?
Well, we've seen a lot lately regarding the Senate's actions, and people have, you know, referenced witnesses. But my understanding is that the House had quite a number of witnesses, I think 28 altogether. And if they had done a better job with the investigation, if they had done a better job procedurally, if they had called the additional witnesses that they were complaining about when it got to the Senate, this whole process would have been much smoother. There'd be much less rancor. People would be less disappointed because they would have had a much cleaner and more effective set of articles if that's what would have happened. It's the House that messed this up.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for that. And we hear that, too, and push back to the witness conversation in the Senate. We've heard U.S. senators say, hey, it's not our job to do all of the discovery for the House. They should have come up with more evidence if they wanted more witnesses. What do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be certainly discussion about whether the House made a strategic mistake by moving too quickly, perhaps, on the impeachment. But it is also worth noting that a lot of this, the House members saw a lot of the witnesses being blocked by the White House in a way that would spark judicial battles that would probably go on for months or even potentially years. So when it came to John Bolton, for instance, you know, it wasn't until a court opinion that would allow him to testify, which came after the impeachment, that I think Democrats in the Senate said, well, now that Bolton is free to testify, according to the court, you know, he should be called here. So the situation has changed. That's what a number of the Democrats would argue. But I do think that there is some reflection to say, well, you know, should the House have waited longer and tried to collect more evidence? But that's going to be part of the debate for, you know, through November and then even beyond.
Let's bring Jeff from Bloomer into the discussion now. Jeff, what's on your mind?
My concern was that the Chief Justice didn't really preside over a trial and that he was just appeared to be just a pawn in the show.
What do you mean by that?
That's
what do you think Chief Justice John Roberts could have done?
I think he could have requested more more information, could have been more of an official in the thing instead of just, you know, I see him as a judge presiding over trial, and I think his duty is to seek the truth.
All right.
And I didn't see that.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. You know, we did see John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, step in, Paul, when we had, you know, Senator Rand Paul send a question up to the Chief Justice, and he wouldn't take it because it named the so-called whistleblower. We know Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson today apparently named the whistleblower in a news call. So what is the role of the Chief Justice under these circumstances?
Yeah. And here I would actually defend Chief Justice Roberts here, because I think it goes back to that question about separation of powers. This isn't a typical trial like you might see in, say, a criminal trial. this is an impeachment trial where really the House and then the Senate are running the show. So I think if the Chief Justice ended up taking over the show, then there'd be some real concerns about separation of powers and the courts getting too involved here. So I think Roberts, like Rehnquist before him during the Clinton, Chief Justice Rehnquist, during the Clinton impeachment, you know, they had a very hands-off approach here, which I think for a Chief Justice who is presiding over this Senate-run trial, I think that is the appropriate approach to take.
And Paul Nolet, I really appreciate your time with us today, breaking down all of the aspects of the ongoing impeachment trial here. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
And we've been talking with Paul Nolet, who's an associate professor and chair in the Department of Political Science at Marquette University. And he joined us today to talk about the ongoing impeachment trial in the Senate. And the Senate is actually scheduled to vote tomorrow afternoon. So we'll keep you updated about what's going on there on the Senate.